Hello and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we are going to talk about how you can build your hybrid cloud. My name is Damien Caro. I'm a technical evangelist manager for Microsoft Corporation out of France. And we will cover in the next few minutes how you are going to build your private cloud and what is the journey you have to follow. Actually, the journey starts with a private cloud. But then we will very quickly see how you can connect the cloud through the network. After seeing how the network connectivity works, we will see how you can send messages between the applications running in the different clouds. For that, we will use a component of Windows Azure called Windows Azure Service Bus. Moving from messages to data is very quickly, and we will see how you can exchange more than simple application messages, but how you can synchronize your application data between the different environments. And finally, we will see how you can move your workloads between the different cloud, private and public, and how the similarities of the technology we have allows you to do that. So where do you start the journey? Well, as I said, the journey starts with the private cloud. And the private cloud brings some key components to understand what hybrid cloud means and how you can evolve from private to public. The key components are around virtual machines, around applications, application architecture, and networking, network virtualization, or what we call software-defined networking. Very quickly, you will understand that it is critical to have a single tool to manage both environments through a single pane of glass. And this is where I would like to bring you with my first demonstration, which is how you can use System Center App Controller to manage both environments. Let's switch to my demo environment. Here I am. So in this demo environment, I have my System Center App Controller installed. And as you can see, I have two private cloud, two Virtual Machine Manager private cloud, and one Windows Azure subscription. If you take a look at the clouds, you can see the different characteristics of each of them. So for example, in my Windows Azure, I have six services, and I have unlimited resources as I have defined for my private cloud. The key component to understand how it works goes through the library. The library is where you will have your repositories of all the resources you use on the private and the public cloud. So if you look on the VMM library, which is at the top, I have created a share called Azure Applications. In this Azure application, I have my Azure package and Azure configuration for an Azure service. In Windows Azure, I review my storage account, my infrastructure as a service storage account, ITKM storage, master IT storage, and I also have my SCVMM libraries. When you go to the services, you have an overview of all the different services that are running in this environment. And from here, you can actually deploy a new service. So you can go to the cloud, and you can deploy either on-premises through the private cloud or to Windows Azure. Of course, depending on the characteristics of each of them, you will not be able to deploy the same things. But let's say that you want to deploy to Windows Azure, you would be able to deploy most likely either virtual machines or content called packages. So if I go to my applications, I can see my package, my CSPKG. Or if I go to my VHD in the IS storage, I can see the VHDs that can be used to deploy virtual machines. So we could do for a package. And if I go for a package, I have all the characteristics of the cloud. So I'm going to go to my demo NVA for the cloud service. I need to configure deployment, version of the operating system, define name, it's a staging environment. Then you need to define the configuration. It will point to the same location that I have with my CSCFG. And I just need to define the web role. I'm not going to enable remote access for the sake of time. I just need to encrypt the certificate. Yep, that's good. And define the password for the administrator. There we are. And I'm good to deploy that role. So now it's going to run the deployment in the background and do the job for me. What you haven't seen at this time is that I'm connected with the administrator account. But what App Controller brings to you is the ability to delegate the access to Windows Azure to some other users, or not delegate the access to Azure to some other users. So if I connect to App Controller with my other account, my single user account, you can see that this user doesn't have access to the Windows Azure subscription that I have. So it is a good way to control who can do what in your public cloud or in your hybrid environment. Let's switch back to the to the slides for a minute. So we've seen how you use App Controller to connect both environments. Let's go a step further and see how you connect the clouds. So connecting the clouds is probably the first step you're going to do when you're going to go for a hybrid environment. And that means having to implement a secure site-to-site network connectivity through virtual networks. The site-to-site connectivity allows you to create and connect two virtualized network, or a virtualized network in Windows Azure and a standard network in your enterprise. It requires some key components like a VPN, like a traditional VPN gateway to be on-premises, and it requires a fixed public IP address on your enterprise with no NAT configuration. So you need to have the fixed public IP address on internet available for the site-to-site connectivity to work. If you don't have that luxury, you can still do a machine-to-machine or machine-to-site connectivity with Windows Azure. It does not allow you to connect to multiple machines. It will only allow you to connect one single client that is running on the internet to Azure, to a virtual network in Azure. If you don't want to have the site-to-site connectivity, or if you want to have application communicating through to each other's, you can use the service bus, the Azure service bus, to have that application layer connectivity and messaging. The application will be able to exchange messages directly. And finally, you can synchronize the data with SQL Data Sync, which will allow you to synchronize those data between the different environment, different clouds, which although don't need to have a VPN. So the last two options do not require to have a VPN in place, which is very convenient because still it is secure, it encrypted, but you don't have to have the full VPN configuration. Let's have a quick look at the site-to-site VPN, how it works. So I'm going to go to my Azure environment, Azure tenant. And for that, I'm going to go to my networks. And in the networks, I have multiple things. Before going to the virtual networks, let's have a look at the local networks. And the local networks define your local environment. So in my case, I have my local network with an IP address of 10.11 something with a /16 environment. I have a demo NVA virtual network. And you define the VPN IP address, the device IP address, so the one that is publicly available, so that Windows Azure knows how to connect to that local network. Then you need to define the IP address, the address space that is used by your local network. In my case, I've defined, for example, 192.168, but that could be anything of your IP address based on your address space that you have defined. The entry you're doing here is no less than a virtual representation of your local network. Once you have done your local network definition, then you can create your virtual network. And in the virtual network, you will have to define your IP address space that you want to run in Windows Azure. You can also configure the DNS that you want to use, and it will allow you to create a gateway. The gateway that it creates will actually try to connect to the public IP address of the local network that you have defined before. In my configuration, I have my Azure VNet with a gateway connected to my local network, and the gateway IP address that I'm using is the one that you see on the screen. To help you configure your VPN gateway, we allow you to create or to download the VPN device script. So for example, if you're using a VPN device that is a Cisco or Juniper or Microsoft Aura or RAS, you will have the ability to just select the platform and the operating system that you use, click OK, and download the CFG file that has all the elements already configured, like the network IP addresses, the pre-shared key for the VPN encryption. If you don't have a device that is in the list that you've seen so far, don't panic. You can always create your configuration yourself and make it work. It is absolutely fine to do so. So the resources we have, you see I have one Azure VM running with an IP address of 10.10.104. If I go to that virtual machine, here it is, my Azure VM, that IP machine is running in Windows Azure. It is the Azure VM that you have configured. As you can see, it is with an IP address of 10.10.104. Yes. And from here, I can ping the 10.11. Sorry. I can ping the remote local network, 10.11.0.249, which is actually a machine running locally on my local network. It goes through the gateway, the VPN device, and everything, and that machine is actually running my SQL Server, which has my blog engine. So on the Azure VNet, I have my frontend, my Azure VM, which can scale up or down depending on the load. And on my local network, I have my SQL database, which has all the data that I don't want to offload to Windows Azure. As you probably have seen on the ping, the performance is okay, but it's not great. The reason for that is because when you do the IPsec VPN over internet, we actually go through the public internet. And it depends on the bandwidth that you have available on the public provider, and it's probably limited. We have announced with AT&T in the United States so far that now you can create an MPLS VPN with Windows Azure, so you can have a direct connectivity to Windows Azure through that MPLS VPN. It brings lower latencies, higher bandwidth, and greater availability with no exposure to internet. It is something that is being worked on and improving over time. Let's switch gears a bit. And let's see how we can go further instead of just bringing the network connectivity between the different networks, but how we can allow applications to communicate directly in a secure manner without having to bring all the VPN configuration in place. This is called Azure Service Bus. It allows sending messages between the clouds. One of the examples we have around that is Centrify. Centrify is an application, is a provider that actually has an application that allows you to monitor, manage, and secure devices under the bring your own device approach. So they use the service bus relay in order to apply those policies, apply updates and templates from a central repository in the Centrify private cloud environment to the enterprise private cloud. That approach does not require any network configuration. The agent on the enterprise private cloud connects to the service bus. And the service bus is also where the Centrify uploads its configurations. So there is no direct connectivity between Centrify and the enterprise. They both go through Windows Azure, which is a third party of trust. Let's have a look at Windows Azure Service Bus for a minute. So, what I have created here is two applications. I have my sender here, which is an application going to send messages to a queue. And I have a receiver that is running on my private cloud that is ready to receive the messages from that queue. In the meantime, we're going to have an overview of the Azure Service Bus queue. So let's start sending messages. So I have sent three messages with three different IDs, 1, 2, and 3, to the Azure Service Bus queue. If I go to my Azure Service Bus, so to my service bus called Damien, I go to queues, I have a sample queue with a queue length of 3. I have different size, and the current size is 520 bytes. Very short, very small, but you can see that the queue can go up to 1 gigabyte, and this is something you can configure. Now let's switch to my receiver. So my receiver is running on my private cloud, and it's ready to receive the message that have been sent. So it's connecting to the queue, and it's receiving the 3 messages that I have made in the queue. Now if I go back to my sender, the sender has the ability to receive the message that were in the queue. So if I do that, it's trying to retrieve the message from the queue, and actually there will be no messages in the queue because we've retrieved them on the other side. So there is nothing to do now, and I can exit. Azure Service Bus brings the ability to exchange messages asynchronously across different applications. But what if you want to have data being synchronized? Well, before you actually look at data synchronization, I would like to recommend you to think and make an assessment on not only the usage offered by the hybrid cloud, but also how those data are sensitive to your business. And for each type of data, you should rate the business impact. You should identify if they have a high business impact, a small business impact, or a critical business impact. Depending on that, you will be able to identify and map which database can be synchronized. And even if the granularity allows you, you can define which tables can be synchronized. And you can define what has to stay in your cloud, what has to remain in your environment. And then you can do an evaluation of the data synchronization, and you can implement data synchronization in your environment to unlock new scenarios. Those scenarios could be to leverage the public cloud with Azure SQL DB to replicate data between two SQL servers, between two different locations of your network, of your corporate network. Or you can use the data synchronization to replicate some of your data from your on-premise SQL Server database to SQL Azure DB to mobile devices, for example. Could be running Windows phones, Android, or iPhones. They would be able to connect to those databases or replicate part of the data. Or you could use Azure SQL DB as a hub to replicate those data through another SQL Server with GeoRepica. And you can have web applications using SQL database close to their location with a current version of the data. So you can think of multiple ways to replicate the data in one way or multiple ways. Let's have a look at that for a minute. So in my current demo environment, I have installed on this machine my SQL Data Sync agent. So the agent runs locally on my private cloud server, and I have two databases, one called AdventureWorks, and that database run on this machine. So if I go to SQL Azure, I can see that I have a SQL Azure database, and all my databases in Azure have been identified with AZ at the end. Now what I can do is create a sync group. The sync group called AdventureWorks will actually define which databases are going to replicate the data. And for those databases, I'm going to create the sync rules. The sync rules allows me to define which database has the source of the data, which is the schema of the database. And for each of those data, for example, I can go to my products. And if you look at the product description, I can select which tables, which columns I want to synchronize. And maybe I want to synchronize my product description when it was modified. And I want to synchronize my inventory. So how much product I have left on the shelves, how much I have in the bin, and so on. And that is going to be replicated between my on-premises database to my SQL Azure database. But if I go to the transaction history, for example, I have no data being replicated. So I can be very precise and very granular into which data I want to replicate to SQL Azure and which data I want to give access to, even though sometimes those data are just not available in Azure. Finally, let's go a bit further. So we've seen how you can build your hybrid cloud through network connectivity, exchanging data through messages, or through SQL data synchronization. Finally, let's look at how you move the workloads. That is simple as taking a virtual machine from your data center and moving it to Windows Azure, or vice versa, taking a virtual machine from Windows Azure and moving it to your data center. This is what I call the lift and shift approach. Again, let's have a look at that from the demo environment. And actually, we will also go to App Controller. I'm going to sign in with my administrator account, so I have more rights. And I will be able to take a virtual machine running from my on-premise environment and move it to my public environment, to Windows Azure. So how you do that? Well, simply you have to take a virtual machine. You take the virtual machine that is running, for example, that Azure VM. Actually, it's running in Windows Azure. You can take this machine, for example, that is running. What you would have to do, simply shut down. I'm not going to do it, it's like a bit of time, but you shut down the virtual machine and then you store it in the library. Once the machine has been stored in the library, you can put it in a share like this one. And if you go to my environment, I have this machine that has been shut down and shared. It's Windows Server 2012 with IIS and some tools. You copy and paste that to Windows Azure. So basically, it's going to copy the VHD to Windows Azure. And here I am. I have my Windows Server 2012 with IIS template VHD file. There are a few constraints here. The VHD has to be a fixed VHD. It has to be on the VHD format today. You cannot have differential disk, and you cannot have dynamically extending disks. It is a constraint that you have to keep and to take in consideration when you are going to do that. But it allows you to take that VM, move it to Windows Azure, and from that image, sorry, from that VHD, you can actually create either a new image from Windows Azure, or you can create a new disk. The difference between an image and a disk, the disk is associated to one single virtual machine. And an image can be reused through multiple virtual machines. Because the image that the VHD that I have uploaded to Windows Azure has actually been sysprepped, I will be able to create my new image and add that image with my tools, with all my properties, my configuration that I like for my image to Windows Azure. So I'm going to add a new image from the VHD that I have already uploaded to save time. Define that it is running Windows. And if we look into the list of images, I have my VHD, my image that has been created. There it is, Demo MVA. I can now create a new virtual machine directly from System Center App Controller, or I can go to Windows Azure Management Portal and create that. So I can go to my Azure virtual machine. You need to select the new from gallery. And if you go to My Images, you need to refresh a bit to make sure it takes into account what has been done in the background during the same time. Once that has been refreshed, I should be able to see my Demo MVA image. So new virtual machine from gallery. If you go to your image, there you go, you get your Demo MVA, and you can enter all the traditional information. Username, password, and that image that is based on your properties, your own personal image from your environment can be deployed in Windows Azure with your own IP address, your own settings, and everything. There it is, my Demo MVA machine is being provisioned. In a nutshell, we've seen how the journey is to build a hybrid cloud. It can be at different levels, and it depends on where you want to be and how you want to move on. Networking is definitely the low-hanging fruit. It's easy to implement and keep the existing environment in place. Application messaging, brings a new approach. It does not require to have the full networking VPN in place, but it requires the application to be adjusted. Data synchronization would require the application to be reconfigured to connect through that, but it actually is SQL or SQL Azure. And finally, the last step around moving to a hybrid environment is about moving virtual machine, due to the fact that we have the same hypervisor architecture between private and public cloud. In any case, it allows you to extend your existing environment and leverage what you already know through the Microsoft technologies by running a private cloud and leverage the capacity and the properties of the public cloud. Few additional resources: the TechNet Evaluation Center, the TechNet Virtual Labs, and of course Microsoft Virtual Academy to learn a bit more around private cloud, public cloud, Windows Azure. Thank you for your attention on this Microsoft Virtual Academy module around hybrid cloud. See you soon in the different modules.